Welcome to Beacon of Light, a show that examines and explores the unexplained and the curious. Join Marcus Leder and Jennifer Fallah on a journey of discovery as they shed some light on a variety of spiritual, paranormal, and psychological topics. Hello and welcome to Beacon of Light. In tonight's show, Jennifer and I went into meditation to ask questions about reincarnation, about the process, and about how it works, what the objectives are, and more interesting, what happens between lives. What are we doing during all that time in between? And before we get into our meditations, I'd like to introduce Jennifer into the show. Hello, Jennifer.
Hello.
And hello, see if there's something you'd like to add to that.
I would. Reincarnation is pretty controversial. Many different beliefs on the subject. If you really take the time to research and to look into it, there is a lot of evidence out there supporting it, especially if you read books on hypnosis and what's happened to people when put under and talking in different languages, knowing things and names and dates and occurrences in other times. So if you are interested in the subject, please do go and do your own research and find your own answers. Tonight we went into meditation. Our form of meditation is called interdimensional meditation, and it is a technique we use that puts us into a deep form of meditation where we project our consciousness to other dimensions and speak with higher vibrational beings, angels, spirits, the divine, and other entities, to retrieve answers that are unknown. We're trying to find the missing pieces. There's a lot of information on some of the topics out there that is known to the world, and we try and go and find the missing pieces. So that is what we've done here tonight with reincarnation. If you're just joining us for the first time, I wanted to give you a little background on what we do so you're not confused. Marcus is going to start us out tonight. He found quite a bit of information on this topic, and so I'm just going to let him go with that because it's very interesting stuff.
Okay. I did get a lot more than I thought I would get, but some of the information I had already, I knew about, but what this type of meditation does, since I am speaking to, a higher dimensional being, in this case it was Archangel Michael, what it does is it confirms and validates, the information that I did have. And when I went in, and I had to write all this down because it was pretty complex, and I had to go in twice to do it. But I met with Michael and asked about the concept of reincarnation and what its true objective is. He said that it is an evolutionary process for the soul and is found in every living organism. He said the higher the complexity of the organism, the more refined the evolution becomes. He said that even insects have a kind of soul, different from humans and very basic, but still a soul that evolves into a more complex being. When he said that, I immediately asked if an insect soul can evolve into a human soul, and he said no. He said they can only evolve into more a more complex form of what they already are. He said, souls are created on many levels for various reasons. He went on to say that a human soul is created, when a human soul is created, it will evolve into anything else, or it won't evolve into anything else other than a higher form of itself. The same goes for all living creatures, even rocks. And that's kind of hard to understand, a rock being alive even, let alone having a soul. But I had heard this from my shamanic training, and he just, you know, reaffirmed it with what he was telling me. He said, even rocks, but the soul of a rock in this, you know, is a lower form, and it stays in the lower forms. It doesn't evolve. You know, rock doesn't become a human in, you know, a million years or anything. I asked what the purpose for all this was, and he said that when human souls are created, that they are lacking the knowledge of the universe, and they hunger for the completion that it brings. They soak up knowledge through direct experience, like a sponge soaks up water. The expanse of knowledge is so great that it cannot be accomplished in a single life, and often the lessons of any particular life are limited to the situation and interaction of this particular life offers. He said, as a result, the human soul experiences many lives, thousands of them, usually before completing the process and moving into the higher dimensions to become one with the universe, you know, one with God. I ask if they always have a life on Earth, or if there are other places in the universe where they can go. And he said that most humans at this time will incarnate back on Earth, but not necessarily in the same timeline. They can be a 21st century business person in the current life and then find themselves back in medieval times as a blacksmith in the next, and then find themselves 500 years in the future in the following life. It all depends on what is decided about what the soul needs for the next classroom. He said some souls have incarnated into other solar systems and harbor alien life. You know, they incorporate into an alien life form, and some have moved into separate dimensions entirely, you know, other realities. I ask him what and who determines where a soul will go when it's, when this is determined. He said that the soul's own planning it's the soul's old planning that makes the decision, with help of more advanced human souls or teachers, and it happens in heaven after the incarnated soul's body dies. I ask about the process, and he said that when the soul is released from its biological host, usually it will migrate to the lower heaven worlds for a recovery and review period. It can be a shock to the soul when it leaves the physical world, especially on depending on how the body actually died. So there is a quiet time in the lower heaven worlds that will last as long as the soul needs. During this time, there are aids and healers, if needed, that reorient the soul to the reality of its existence, of who and what they really are. After this healing and reorienting process is complete, then the soul will move higher into heaven and interact with others in that soul's group, which can be quite large and is always growing. It is during this time that a life review in great detail takes place by the soul. And there usually is some kind of advisors that the soul will discuss the lessons of its last life. Good and bad things are considered and discussed. This way, the total experience is fully comprehended and the soul's knowledge expands as it is added to all the other lives of the soul that it has experienced in the past. Now, that gets a little complicated, and at this point is where I kind of had to stop and, you know, go back and take notes and then come back into an altered state to continue. Because it is a little hard to follow. I asked him when I came back if the soul at this time is aware of all of its other lives, and he said yes. While this knowledge is blocked when the soul is incarnated into a physical body for reasons of unfiltered learning and experience. In other words, you don't want to remember a past life when you're living in this one, especially if there was emotional ties. Otherwise, you won't learn anything. He said the soul regains all of its experiences from incarnations once the recovery process is complete and it moves into the higher levels of heaven. I ask, how long does it take for a soul to reincarnate again, and what do they do in heaven while they're waiting for this time, you know, over this waiting period? He said that time is not a consideration because it does not exist anywhere but in the physical world. He said that is the one key factor that makes the physical world such a perfect classroom, the illusion that things must be done in sequence and the mortality of life itself. I said, yeah, but if I was here on Earth and someone I know died, how long would it be to me before that person came back? And he must have found it amusing because he laughed and he said, they may never come back in your lifeline while you are alive. He said, in your time frame, they could come back in 1 second after they died, or perhaps not for 500 years. You can't compare a soul's timeline with yours because they do not have, have one. They don't have a timeline. He said souls can come back as your child or grandchild, which happens, if there is a potential lesson to be learned, one that was missed. You can come back with a different perspective, and that does happen quite often. A soul can also come back and live multiple existences at the same time because of the non-linearity of time for them. In other words, you could be you now and also be your great-grandfather 50 years ago. This was starting to boggle my mind, so I asked one last question. I asked, are there alien souls, as in non-human souls, living here on Earth at this moment, who are taking advantage of the Earth-human physical classroom? He seemed a little reluctant to answer this question, but finally he said yes, billions of them. I asked if I know any, and he raised his eyebrow while lowering his head and looking at me right in the eye, and he gave me that look that told me he was not going to answer that question, that I should know better to even ask. And I can understand that. I mean, if you knew your friend was an alien, you know, you might treat him a little different. I said, okay, but one more question then. Do souls do anything else in heaven between lives? And he said that they are very active in learning, more in regular classrooms, especially right before they re-enter the physical world. He said they also help others to learn and enjoy the wonders of their true home and friends and loved ones. I then returned back to my normal waking self here in our great classroom. So that was the extent of that meditation. Now there's a lot more questions I could ask, but we only have an hour show, and this could go on for many hours. Wow. I also want to let Jennifer, you know, share what she had.
Well, that's a lot of information there.
A lot of it was kind of heavy. It's kind of, you know, I was understanding it when he was telling me, but, you know, when you relate to someone else, they almost have to go over it again, which is one reason why we put meditations on our webpage, you know, beaconoflightradio.org, so that people can go back if they didn't quite follow something and read over it again.
Yes. Now, rocks have... That's one thing that's hard for me to grasp, because rocks sit around for a long time.
Millions and billions
of years.
You
know, what a relief. I would not want to be a rock.
No. No, and that's, you know, from my shamanic training, that was something that I'd heard before, that everything, you know, to the shaman, everything is alive. Everything has a life to it. And rocks, you know, in particular, they were mentioned to me. And they have a life force. And now a lot of people can see that life force. They see energy around everything. And that energy is the stuff that life is made of. A rock is not going to, you know, be thinking as fast as a human does, nor is a tree. But a tree also has a type of soul. And it just, the whole time frame, you know, is different. Because, you know, a rock isn't going to have the same logical thoughts we are. But a rock, for example, and people think I'm nuts when I tell them this, but you can speak to objects like that. You can communicate with them, but they can't, of course, communicate back to you in a conversation. But they know, they are aware, they have an awareness. They know that you are focusing on them if you just look at it. I don't know what they think if you pick a rock up and throw it. You know, maybe it's an amusement ride to them. I'm not sure.
I know that one time you told me. I told you, well, sometimes when I look at trees and plants that look on the horizon, I can see this glow around them.
Yeah.
You know, just a few inches around them. And it's even bigger with trees, with large trees that are older. And you told me one time, well, you know, they did a study on plants. What was that? Plants where they had two plants in a room and they started pruning one of the plants and they recorded the plants screaming or something. And I'm like, great. Now I can't trim the bushes. Now I can't mow the lawn.
Yeah, they hooked the plant up to an ECG machine. And when they had the two plants in the room, and they found out the plants had an awareness and they were communicating. And so they, you know, they went over to one plant. I think they were tomato plants. They went over to one, and the scientist lit a cigarette lighter and burned the leaf. And when it burned the leaf of that plant, you know, they don't feel pain the same way, but it was in distress. The other tomato plant started doing the equivalent of screaming. Because it was sympathetic to the other plant. And then they found that plants are also telepathic, because the scientist went over to the plant and just thought about doing the same thing with the cigarette lighter. And as soon as it thought that, both plants started screaming. And screaming isn't the same as humans, you know. So you don't think you can't go... you can't go trim your bushes or mow your lawn or anything. You know, when I first learned that, I used to think when I was mowing my lawn, I had, you know, if it wasn't for the lawnmower, I'd hear nothing but screaming going.
That is, you've ruined me forever with the yard work. I mean,
that's a good excuse to get out of it.
After you told me that, I was just so, you know, I'm going up to the plant. Can I trim your plant? I just want to make sure it's okay. You know,
You know, shaman are also taught when they harvest plants for medicinal purposes, you don't just go rip a plant out of the ground. You have to actually, it's a process, and you have to get down and you have to ask permission from the plant. And you'll thank it and then leave an offering. You don't kill the whole plant. You take a part of it. And that's traditionally the way it's done, because the plants are aware, and plants will work with humans, most of them. But... They do have an awareness, and that's been proven, you know, scientifically.
Yeah, it's just good manners.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to cut your arm off, but thank you anyway.
I'm going to sever a bunch of limbs right now, but I just want to make sure that's okay. Yeah. Okay. I would just like to let everybody know that this is a live show, and you can call in and ask us questions. If you want us to talk to the angels for you, we can do that too. Our call-in number is 310-928-6665, and that is 310-928-6665. And we will be taking callers after the break on the second half of the show. Right now I'm going to get into my meditation. I did not get as much information as Marcus, but it's valuable. It's valuable information. I went in to meditation, and I went to a beautiful courtyard, and I met with Archangel Michael and Archangel Gabriel. And Michael, like with Marcus, did all the talking. Gabriel just kind of stood there and nodded. And I guess this would be, usually they, whoever specialty it is, who has the most information or can be of most help, will show up or be the one talking. So I asked, I told him I'm here to talk about reincarnation. And I said a lot of people believe that you only have one life. And there is some confusion with that concept. You do. You do have one life. And that is one eternal life. The vehicles change, the situations change, but life never ends. And so, when humans were taught that you have one life, it's one eternal life. I asked him, do they reincarnate? Do they keep coming back? He said, yes. He said, in the span of eternity, how would one learn all they wish in the blink of an eye that is a human life? Every life is an accumulation of experience. The entire physical universe is in place for this reason. And I asked, do angels reincarnate? And he said, yes. He kind of gave me a funny look like that. Like, I'm not going to tell you a whole bunch of information on that.
Yeah, but, they don't like to talk about that.
Yeah. They only want to give us a little here, a little there.
Yeah.
But he said, yes, but we come when needed. He said, our evolution is not the same as humans. As angels, the objective is to remember who they are and to accomplish the mission. So angels come down for a very specific reason. And they walk around in human bodies, and they probably don't really know they're angels. They just are driven to help. I said, humans evolve with each incarnation. They choose a difficult life, an easy life, short or long, and the number of lives is not important and not a good indication of how evolved a soul is. So if somebody comes and says, I had a past life regression and I've had 624 lives, and you're like, wow, I only have like 23, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, they could be a slow learner.
Yeah, you could have had 600 easy lives, and, you know.
Yep.
He said the accumulation of experience helps humans evolve and raise their vibration. He said, do not judge somebody with a difficult life or accuse them of being dark. The path is very complex. And usually someone who has taken on a very difficult life with a lot of challenges is going to evolve much quicker. They've kind of taken the crash course. I asked about souls that only live for a short time, because that's always been a question of mine. Okay, what about the children? What about people that, you know, what's the point in that? And he said they incarnate for others. It's actually a very loving thing, even though the pain that it leaves is immense. They come in to create a situation that a soul or a group of souls have charted to experience So let's say, you know, I've never experienced the loss of a child, and in this lifetime I'm going to need that empathy because I want to experience that. And, you know, when you're in heaven, you're in a perfect environment and you're just very optimistic, okay? You know, they say, I want to experience this kind of loss, and the empathy that this kind of loss and the strength that this is going to teach me, I'm going to pass that on to others in one way or another. And, you know, people really do grow from that, even though it is a terrible, heart-wrenching experience, the loss of any loved one is. And I asked, do souls reincarnate quickly after one life is over? And I basically got the same information you did. He said, not usually. Re-entering quickly can be traumatic for the soul, and they need time to rest and recuperate.
Yeah.
So I have a little bit more. I'd like to talk about that when we come back from break. But basically, I'd like people to know, people have very difficult lives, you know, and to understand a little bit about reincarnation can bring some hope. Because you may say, well, why would I chart this out? Why would, you know, and I said that. I said that when my husband passed away. I said, why would he choose to leave me and our two children so young? And now that the shock and the pain is worn off, you know, of course it'll always be there, but worn off enough, and I've come to a place of acceptance and growth. I have grown from it. I am stronger because of it. My children are stronger because of it. We are more appreciative of our loved ones and the people around us and the little things in life. And we don't take things for granted now. So I would not be doing what I'm doing, and I would not be who I am if I had not suffered that loss. And so as hard as it is for me to accept, I can understand why we all decided to do that. You know, and that's something to think about. If you're somebody who suffered a loss, once you get to the point of acceptance, that's something that it can't be helpful. I've got a little more to say about that after we come back from break, and I invite everybody to call in. Once again, our call-in number is 310-928-6665. We will be right back with you after this short break.
Do you have children who suffer from night terrors or reoccurring nightmares? Have you ever wished there was a way to fight these problems from within? The Wishflower Field series of children's novels is changing the way we empower children by planting seeds of hope, light, and inner strength through fanciful fiction. Jennifer Fala has found a way to speak to children that helps them use their inner light to conquer their fears, believe in themselves, and move forward with a positive attitude. This series is a pioneer that rises above the sea of negative children's fiction to stand alone in a crossover category best described as positive, empowering fiction. Choose a series for your children that not only entertains, but nourishes the spirit. Visit thewishflowerfield.com for your copy today.
Sacred Soils offers rare, sacred treasures from our magical world, along with cutting-edge energy products and tools for empowering your body, mind, and spirit. We invite you to join our world by visiting the website at www.sacredsoils.com and signing up for the newsletter that offers information you will not find elsewhere. So join Marcus Leader at Sacred Soils and tell him Nightwatch sent you. That's www.sacredsoils.com.
And the heartache, and I felt the pain. I've seen the hatred in so many lives. lives lost in vain. And yet through this darkness there's always a light that shines through and takes me back home. Takes me back home. All of the promises broken and all of the songs left unsung seem so far away as I make my with so much to say. And when I feel helpless, there's always a hope that shines through. It makes me believe. It makes me believe. And I see for one fleeting moment
Visit our website, beaconoflightradio.org, to hear shows that you missed on the archive page, find links to our Facebook page, and to schedule a reading. We are now offering meditation reading services to the public, just like we perform on the show. If you are in need of guidance from angels or spirit, or have a negative entity lurking around, schedule a service with Jennifer at www.beaconoflightradio.org.
Hello, and welcome back to Beacon of Light. I'm here with Marcus Leader, my co-host. I'm Jennifer Fala, and tonight we've been discussing reincarnation. We went in the first half of the show and talked through interdimensional meditation and talked to Archangel Michael to get information on reincarnation and what happens after, in between lives, why we come back, and how that works. Right. Yes. Now we...
And that's okay. I was just going to say it is an interesting process and a complex one. But most of the world, most of the population actually believes in reincarnation. Part of that is because, 1 billion of the population is Buddhist. And, it's a pretty widespread belief. And among Christians now, it's, they used to have a reluctance, the people that I knew in my life, my mother, my relatives, my grandmother, you mentioned reincarnation to them, and it was blasphemy.
Yeah.
But now it's changed, and the church has changed. The Catholic Church is more accepting of it now. And, if you actually look back in some of the ancient writings and records that are being discovered, they're, being discovered to this day, Christ actually taught reincarnation, some of the principles to his disciples. But the church and the Catholic Church in the early years, it was a big control thing, and they didn't want people thinking that they could do whatever they want in this life, and then because it doesn't matter what they do because they're coming back again. And that's the wrong concept, and the church didn't want people believing that, so they struck the records of his teachings, anything to do with reincarnation. But
that's just so sad. Information has been interpreted in so many ways over so many years that you really just have to go with what feels right to you. Just really, when you hear something, does that feel right to you? Does that sound right to you, no matter what you've been told to believe? And that's your best indication. To me, as a child, growing up in the Catholic Church, they would say, you only get one shot, you only get one life, you better be good, and you better be do this, and you better do that, and it just didn't make sense. I mean, as a little girl, it didn't make sense to me. I was like, well, how come we have to go to school so many days, so many years, all this time? You get so many chances to learn things, but in the whole span of everything, we only get one life, we only get one shot at it. And the reason it didn't make sense is because what about the babies? What about people that die young? What about that? They get a 1 year. It doesn't make sense.
What can they learn?
Mm-hmm. And I went and talked to, I just kind of had a little sit down with Archangel Michael, and it wasn't any specific questions and answers. We just, he wanted me to talk to people about the judgment of others with the reincarnation. And wanted people to know that each incarnation is individually planned, but the effects of that life reach out in all directions, sparking change and growth in the others around you. So, even if you think you have an insignificant life, you don't. Even if it was that kind word that you said to somebody, or that door you opened for somebody at the grocery store, raising children in itself and doing a good job, look at the effect that you had. You have more effect on people than you know. Even death can be planned at precisely the right time to bring loved ones closer together, to evoke change, or make an individual stronger. The person who is grieving doesn't realize it at the time, but hindsight usually shows that the effect of a person's passing. Look at all the people on Earth who has pushed through grief to find a cure, to raise awareness, to make a law, or simply remember to be loving or empathetic. Lives are touched by so many, in so many ways, small and large. Humans make very complex plans and pacts with other souls before coming to Earth. So don't judge a person because of their life here. I mean, you can, but you can choose not to be around them. You can choose what is right for you and what's wrong for you, and that is something that you should do. But to say that they're bad or wrong or, you know, evil, you really just don't know, because even a person who's degrading to you could have been a friend who made a pact with you to help you rise up against oppression.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you see how that works?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's, you know, I've thought about that several times in the past about, you know, you see these people who are, you know, to us, you know, by comparison, they might be low life, or people who do terrible things, or people who, you know, are street people. They don't have a home. They just wander around, and you wonder, what lessons are they learning? And what I learned through some of the research that I've done with the Monroe Institute, because a lot of the people associated with it and some of the researchers there, they go into these places, these higher realms, and they ask questions like this. And what I was told, and what I was told in my shamanic journey too, is that everybody, no matter what their life is, they are exactly in the right place. They're where they're supposed to be, and they're doing what they're supposed to be. And we may not be able to, you know, in our limited reasoning, we may not be able to understand why they're here or what they're doing, because it's like a massive chess game where one little move here can, you know, 100 moves later, you know, do something dramatic. And so you can't really say, you know, what or judge these people by their position in life now or their actions now, even if they're terrible actions. It's exactly where they're supposed to be. They are learning something that they came here to learn, and the people around them are also learning something. Sometimes the lessons aren't pleasant, but they are important lessons.
It's funny because it's all about perspective, because if you were on the other side viewing the lives, you know, each life is as important as the next. It's just as important. But if you look at the person who's sleeping on the street, you know, people who have had haven't had much turmoil in their life, they're rich, they're, you know, they're popular, whatever, they walk by this person on the street and they say, well, you know, he's there because of his own, it's his own fault. You know, and maybe it is, but don't judge that person. Be empathetic of that person. You know, you could have been the one chartered to walk by and help that person out on that day, and you missed it. And that, if they're looking down or looking at these two people, these two lives from the other side, the roles are reversed, because the person with the easy life is not as evolving as much as that person sitting on the street who has suffered.
Yeah.
And it's not that you just have to suffer to evolve, but that guy's learned a lot. In that life, you know, that's a crash course right there. So be kind, you know, and don't make his life any worse, you know. Help where you can, be kind. And, you know, even people in your life who are negative examples, you know. Michael told me, he said, negative examples can be as necessary to push as positive ones, to push you forward in a positive direction. A negative example can build a fire beneath you to get you moving. And that's true. I've had people in my life, so everything I do was never good enough. Everything, you know, it was always some negative comment. And what did that do? Or, you know, you can't do this. You're not going to be that. What, you know what? Yes, I am. I'll show you. So, can I really blame that person? You know, on a conscious human level, yeah, you're being a jerk. But you never know, when we all get home, even that person that was terrible to you, you might even thank because, say, you know what? You did a good job. You never know. We could all got together and said, all right, I need somebody to do to be this person who's going to move me forward. This person, I'm not going to like you when I'm there. So please excuse that. Yeah. But I need someone to do this for me. And someone who loves you stands up and said, I'll do that for you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an act of love usually.
Yeah. Now there are terrible people. There are evil people. There are dark entities in this world. Yes. So I'm not saying that everybody's loving everybody and we're mean to each other just to help us. We do encounter that. Yes.
Yeah.
You don't have to figure it out. But basically, we chart out a very complicated blueprint. Very complex to follow. And people ask psychics about where they will be or what they'll become in the future. But not all the answers are given. Because our blueprint is so complex and we have free will, so we give ourselves choices to make while we're here. Okay? We can choose to take this road or that road. So if you go to a psychic and say, you want to know everything that's going to happen, well, they can't tell you everything that's going to happen. They can probably see ahead a ways and say, well, according to the choices that you're making right now, on this path, I see you going here. And then you make decisions and changes and things, and you come back later and say, well, that's not where I went. Well, it's because you made decisions and changes, and you took a different road.
Yep.
So, you know, everybody has, that's one thing I was talking to Michael today. Everybody has the main road. You've got this, you know, your main path, which is the best possible way that you can proceed. And then he was showing it to me. I was just talking about personal issues. But he was showing it to me. And then he showed me, it was a dirt path, actually. And then all these other little dirt trails are all trailing off from it. Some of them lead back to the main path. Most of them, they led back to the main path, most of them. So if you take a side trail, don't panic. Because it'll probably lead back to your main path. You know, and you probably will accomplish what you came here to accomplish in the long run. So just ask for guidance. Just try your best to stay on that main road. And you'll know. And another way to know that you're on the path that you charted, the best possible path, is deja vu.
Yeah.
He was telling me deja vu are little flickers of remembering of that path, that plan that you created. You know, and it's something totally random, like somebody went and grabbed for something in front of you, or you saw somebody get out of the car. They're not major signposts. They're just little. So remember, when you get deja vu, I get excited when I get deja vu because I'm like, oh, okay, I'm on the right track.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a signpost that you are on the right track.
Even though things may seem really bad, you know, or they may seem tragic, okay, well, I'm on the path, the best possible path for me, because I just had deja vu over there, so I'm just going to hang in there. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's, you know, that's something you were saying before about, you know, people doing terrible things, and that's something, you know, if you can stop when somebody's doing something, when somebody makes you angry, or when they do something to harm you, or when they're a complete idiot or something, stop and think that there may be something for you to learn in that. And often there is. It's not just that person learning. It's usually, you know, something that's a give and take thing. And I know, you know, my stepdad was, he was mentally abusive, and he wasn't, you know, physically abusive to me or anything, but he was mentally. It's like he would always, you know, for whatever reason, he would, you know, knock me down, tell me I can't do something. And you know, if he was alive today, I would shake his hand and thank him, because he told me I couldn't do something one time. And, you know, it's true that what I wanted to do was virtually impossible, but it motivated me to the point, and it's emotionally drove me. So I accomplished it, even though it was an impossibility, you know, by all, you know, rights and means. But it created something in me that when somebody tells me I can't do something, that's usually when it gets done. And it's like a reminder. So people doing bad things in your life, you know, could actually be helping you in the long run. So don't always just write it off. If somebody is, you know, is doing terrible things to you, you don't want to let it continue necessarily, but you, you need to change your perspective and see what you're learning, you know, from that experience. You're becoming stronger.
Yeah, it lights that fire. It lights that fire beneath you. And it, what it also does is, what do we do when someone tells us we're less than we think we are?
Yeah,
we know there's a lot of reasons why that goes on, and that's usually emotional problems with the other person. But what do? We remind ourselves of how good we are, don't we? And we should do that more often, because that really pushes us forward in a positive direction. And I'm not saying go out and seek negative input.
No.
But that understanding can help you better handle the times in the past, reevaluate these times, and not hold so much hate for those people. You know, let it go. You don't have to go and embrace these people. You don't have to go and hang out with these people if you've made decisions to stay away, because it's probably the best decision. But just know, if one day when you go and they're there too, it was probably a pact. And, you know, we'll remember all this when we get back. And
yeah, probably laugh about it.
Yeah, you know, and it really is something to think about. It's something to ponder when you look back on your life. You know, people in my family, this concept really made me reevaluate my ideas about some people, you know, that I've known. And because, you know, it's like, it's confusing sometimes, because some people aren't all bad, but they choose to treat certain people badly. And it just doesn't make sense sometimes. You think, well, I know this person's not like a dark entity because they're not all bad.
Yeah, they don't realize a lot of times what they're doing.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, we really do have pacts with people. And, you know, basically, you can't know everything that's going to happen, because you're not supposed to. If you knew everything that was going to happen, you wouldn't take the steps necessary to be ready for it when you get there. You know, it's like going into, it's like being in second grade and wanting to take, you know, tests in high school, you know, and you're not going to be ready for that. It's not going to make sense. You know, you have to take those steps to get there.
Yeah.
You have to walk that path.
And that's what reincarnation is all about, is personal experience. You learn by doing.
Exactly. You know, you may have had a life where you were very intolerant of others. You know, maybe you were prejudiced. Maybe you were very unkind and prejudiced and intolerant. And then the next life you come in as a minority who has to experience that, so that you can get a well-rounded understanding of that. Not as a punishment. It's not like, oh, now you have to be that because you were bad. It's so the angels have explained it to me as, this creates a well-rounded understanding. So now we've got it. Now we've got that concept. So it really does make sense. You know, go and read pick up some books on the subject. You know, it's so interesting to me. Sylvia Brown, I've read about 30 of her books. She's written about 50. And a lot of the thing, I know you haven't read her books, and a lot of the information that you brought back tonight, she's already written about.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of it. And that would really surprise you.
Yeah, probably would.
So there are, you know, Sylvia Brown, there's a lot of literature out there on past life regressions, people that have just gone in for hypnosis to quit smoking, and they just started speaking in another language, and they take the tape to a professor at a college, and he says, well, this is some dialect that's not even used anymore from way back at, like, Atlantis time. You know, children who've been put under hypnosis who say that, you know, they're a soldier in the Civil War, and my wife and my kids and the cannon went off and all this stuff from a five-year-old who shouldn't know anything about that. You know, I've read quite a bit on it, and, you know, it makes sense to me. There's something called a cell memory. Sylvia Brown talks about that, cell memory, and that everything is contained there. So if you'd like to learn more about any past lives that you have had and you're up to it, you can seek out a past life regressionist, certified and experienced. And
get a watcher you pick.
Yeah. Pay the money for somebody good and go have it done. I don't even care. I don't even care who I was before. I'm focused on what I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
You know? Doesn't matter to me.
Yeah, that's true. It's not as important who you were. You know, the person you are today is a culmination of all of those personalities. And it does. You're right. It rounds out your entire energy personality. You can have lower vibrations, you know, from one life, and then higher from another, and slowly the whole being, you know, comes into a higher vibration, and that's when we start. They talk about people ascending, or people, you know, raising up their awareness. That's when it happens, when you can balance everything out in your energy fields.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, have you ever heard people talk about children and say, oh, they're an old soul, soul, and sometimes you meet somebody and they just seem brand new. Well, it's probably because one's been here many times. I swear, when I had Faith, when I gave birth to my first daughter, it was freaky. I looked at her, and I had to kind of look away. It was kind of freaky. I swear that kid... I have shared another life with her. And then she's like 3 years old. We're in the kitchen. I'm making chicken. She gets up on a stool. She comes over and says, you're going to make the chicken that way? I mean, just, it was just like, she's like over there, la, 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 playing with her toys. And she comes up, you're going to make the chicken that way? I'm like, okay, this kid was my mother. She had to have been my mother. Katie came in. She's like brand new. I had no idea who she was. But, it's something that's very interesting, and I recommend that people read up on if you're interested in it. We have only a couple minutes left, and I would like to encourage everyone to go to our website, beaconoflightradio.org. We are posting our meditations there. If there's anything that you would like to copy or to read again, we have archives for other shows up. And we also have a page for readings and services, if you'd like us to talk to the angels for you. We also have a Facebook page called Beacon of Light. Like our page there, and we'll keep you up to date. I also post the meditations there. What else we got? Marcus, you have a website going up soon.
I have, it used to be up, but a whole new version of it's coming up, sacredsoils.com. Launch date is tomorrow, but, we'll see if I can get everything done in time tonight. And, that's centered more on ancient, energies, sacred sites, different shamanic things.
Power objects.
Power objects. And then you have your other site, too, the wishflowerfield.com, for your book.
Yes, if you have a child who needs to find their inner strength, there's a way to do it through fanciful fiction. You can go to the wishflowerfield.com. You can get a signed copy from me there. And there's links to Amazon and Barnes & Noble. We're just about out of time, and I want to thank everybody for joining us this week, and we'll see you next week, same time, on Beacon of Light. Good night.
Good night. Thank you for joining us this week, and remember to tune in to Beacon of Light as we explore new topics every Monday at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here on the Jackalope.